Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And Dylan, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, so I'm Dylan Jones. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer for Podium Nutrition. I'm also currently on a path to launching my own chewing gum company called Buddy's Gum. Do some consulting stuff. I'm kind of all over the place. But yeah, primarily Podium right now, and it's going great. Based in Dallas, particularly Denton, just north of Dallas.
Awesome. So I'm just curious, like, you know, more about Podium and how you got into that business and, like, you know, what exactly just Podium does.
Yeah, so, you know, Podium Nutrition, we're a sports nutrition brand founded originally to serve the needs for the CrossFit community, but there's no such thing as a CrossFit pre-workout, right? I mean, pre-workout's pre-workout, whey is whey, hydration is hydration. So we have some unique things with our formula that are geared a little bit towards like a Metcon styled workout. If you don't know what that is, then you're not our target demo in that particular area, but it's a metabolic conditioning. It's just a type of kind of HIIT, AMRAP kind of thing. But, you know, we're now branching out of CrossFit as authentically as possible. So that's kind of the next campaign, if you will. But I got into Podium from being the VP of Digital at Mary Ruth Organics. And this industry is just very incestuous. Once you kind of meet everybody, that's everybody. That's it. And so people just kind of bounce around brands from time to time. Prior to Mary Ruth, though, I was not really in the industry for this at all. I owned a marketing agency and a cleaning business. And, you know, just when we moved to Texas from California and had some family stuff come up, and I realized there's no real exit for an agency and I didn't want to do what it takes to create one, I was like, you know what, let me just go back brand side for a while and like relax, quote unquote. And turns out it's just better usually owning your own business, but it's cool. The experience is good.
Awesome. So I guess like in terms of Podium, like when you're, so you mentioned that you're the CMO. So what does a typical day look like for you?
Yeah, we have a small team. You know, our marketing team is about five people. And then we contract out what we need outside of that for creative or web development. So I run a lot more than just what most brands would consider marketing. It's really a finance job. That also has some creative in it at the end of the day. I think that's what most CMOs, if you want to keep your job, need to be, is a financial and operations expert, as well as a marketing expert. In my opinion, like the modern CMO should just be an extension of the CEO to make sure that they're relieving them of the muck that can carry on from the month to month. So I have a really good right hand named Shay Williams, who, you know, she's new to this industry, but has a natural knack and ability with people, which is super important, as well as operations. And so her and I run most of the, you know, month to month, week to week, and day to day. But a lot of it, you know, with Podium, we aren't just your typical startup. We've only been around 3 years, but we are nationwide at Target currently, Vitamin Shoppe, GNC, and then our .com and Amazon businesses do really well too. So we're kind of in that first initial point of that hockey stick, and we're just really building infrastructure right now to make sure that we're ready for that to happen. So day to day is always different, but it centers really around just creative, and our brand identity is really around flavors too. So we kind of run it like a Supreme sneaker drop model.
So is your focus now mostly on retail or D2C, Amazon? I mean, obviously, like, you're in all these channels, and really just an equal focus amongst all three. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, you can't really tell three stories at once with 100% effort, right? Yeah. Especially with a small team, limited budget compared to most of our competitors. So you got to pick what your win is. And it's kind of like juggling. I think people think of it like a balancing act, but it's more of juggling. When you're juggling, you got one thing up really high, one kind of falling, and one down low. And a good example of that is, you know, this last, you know, 2 months, we've had retail up high, very focused, Amazon falling, D2C down real low. And that was intentional, right? So as long as it's forecasted intentionally, you've put everything and cash wise is in the right spot and you're good and you can cover that and it's planned, phenomenal. And we did that. We really focused hard on the Target launch and the Vitamin Shoppe launch, keeping current retail partners prior to that happy as well. Amazon does what Amazon does. It has a beautiful halo effect, hence it being in the middle. And then D2C, we decided the last 2 months that we're going to rely on, you know, retention marketing and go a little bit low on what our forecast was there and really double down on retail and expect that to pay dividends in the next couple of quarters. And it already is. So to answer your question, it varies, right? But we try our best to make sure that it varies intentionally with forecasting. So we've done a good job of that so far.
So in terms of retail now, like you mentioned, this, you know, Target and Vitamin Shoppe launch. So how do you actually get people to try your product who haven't tried it yet?
You don't. You pay hand over fist and pretend. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, no, there is an art to it. But at the end of the day, I think the packaging and flavor of most brands that are successful sells itself. And I know so many people are cringing at that. Look, there's levers to pull. Like, we spend money in Roundel Media Studio, for instance, for Target. We're paying good money. We're advertising well. We're doing well on Instacart. We have really good organic social media campaigns. We have really good paid campaigns. Like, we pull the levers, but at the end of the day, people buy a feeling, people buy a brand. And so if you've done the legwork at the very inception of your business to make sure that your label stands out, it communicates clearly, it makes someone feel something, and you think that it addresses your total available market, and you do that right, you're going to win. And then second from that is retention, right? So that you got it off the shelf one time, can you keep it coming off the shelf? And that's where flavor comes in. Podium does both those things really well. So a lot of people don't know this, but our founder was one of the original founders of Ghost as well, and then was also part of the Nutrabolt team with C4. And so he's been around the block. And his dad also managed Targets back in the day. Like, he's just kind of born for sports nutrition. That was just destiny for him. So very, very brand first, flavor first kind of guy. And it's my job to make sure that I carry that torch correctly for all of our marketing campaigns. So to answer the question about retail velocity, it's a mix of pulling the obvious levers, making sure you have good margin to spend that correctly. And then, you know, at the end of the day, best brand wins.
For sure. So I guess, like you mentioned earlier, right, that you have your own brand as well. So I'm curious more about what that looks like and how you've been able to, I guess, balance both, you know, things, you know, working and also having your own brand.
Juggling, right?
Yeah.
So there's times when, you know, Podium pays my mortgage, my startup chewing gum will not. For many years. And that's okay. I've planned for that. So it's really a juggling act. So with the chewing gum, the reason I really started is because, again, used to own businesses. Once you've owned businesses and you're built for that, it's very hard to never, you know, really commit to that fully. And so I miss it. I ran them for years. It's just, I'm good at building teams and leading things. And frankly, once I build a good enough system, I've outworked myself out of seats plenty of times, which is great if you're interested in becoming an upward moving employee. But at the end of the day, I really could care less about that. I just like building things. And so the entrepreneur road is definitely for me. You know, for Buddies, I've been working on it for, it'll be 2 years this next month. And we're just about ready to land our first PO in the next quarter, if all goes well, fingers crossed. And it's been a journey. Like, I saw a hole in the market available for chewing gum. There hasn't really been another mainstream brand. There's brands out there doing highly efficable gum, which is cool, good for them. Like Neuro, for instance, they're doing really well in the market right now. Featured on Joe Rogan, yada, yada. They're addressing some, you know, functionality with chewing gum. It limits your flavors. It limits your total audience, right? Like, four-year-old kids not going to chew Neuro. And so I wanted to create just another option at the convenience store level. Nothing too bougie and overpriced, kind of like a Simply Gum, for instance, at Sprouts, where it's like, you know, it's clean or whatever and no artificial whatevers, but it's also very expensive and loses flavor. And I didn't want to just go down the road of launching another kind of cruddy brand that, you know, let Mars Wrigley do what Mars Wrigley does. I'm not saying they're cruddy, but, you know, it's just kind of gen pop, whatever. I wanted to create something kind of in the middle there. So we're set to launch with hopefully three flavors in the next couple of months. And I'm really excited about that.
So are you focused on retail for that business, or is it like a D2C Amazon? What does that look like?
That's a great question. I'm a digitally minded first kind of person, but I digitally mind retail, if that makes sense. So chewing gum is retail. It's a retail game. So I'm very scrappy. Even with Podium, for instance, like, I've built a in-house wholesale division where we're cold calling gyms and lead scraping back from my agency days. And we just rewrote the playbook for CPG. I have no shame in that. People are doing a lot of digital marketing. It's cheaper to call people on the phone, and it's a lot faster to get a no or a yes than it is to retarget people 70 times, right? So as long as you're not destroying brand equity and you're respectful, it's really a great way to do business. I expect to carry the same thing initially through Buddies and just being scrappy. It's not a sexy answer. Like, it's not, but I'm okay with that. I think most successful brands actually have really scrappy, bizarre, unscalable stories. And that's how they scaled. It's just they were willing to wake up at 3 a.m. and cold call for 3 hours on the East Coast. You know, like that's just what they did. I'm okay with that. So I've also got three kids and a wife, and I'm a single income provider. So I'm not allowed to fail. I have to do this correctly. And that's more than, you know, what most people raising pre-seeds in the millions are able to say, right? They're gambling with other people's money and not a lot at stake. I have everything at stake on this. So it's going to be a retail model. Right now I'm working on, I'm not going to say who, but I'm working on a very good retail contract. If I can get that over the line, it'll be a really good initial partnership. I'm excited about the price point that we can offer. I'm excited about our initial margins before, you know, economy of scale kicks in. But yeah, retail primarily. Digital is really just going to be for word of mouth and halo effect. Amazon with multi-packs is probably going to be our bread and butter for digital.
So when you say retail, is it more like a grocery store, a convenience store? Like what are you really focused on?
Yeah, so the one that I have in mind is a grocery, but they have really good options for us placement wise. Really strong buying audience for our demo. It's really good, and the way that we're positioning our ingredients for Buddies is exciting because I'm removing the junk out of it without really charging much more than the standard chewing gum at all. Like surprisingly lower cost than what people think. And we'll be able to compete in kind of both categories. Like there's an artist that I used to listen to. His name is Sho Baraka. And he has a line of song where basically like, can the hood have a Whole Foods too? And Whole Foods is not who I'm talking about for this, but we built our formula to basically be suited for the Whole Foods customer, but be able to sell at a, you know, grocery national level. So C stores like 7-Eleven are perfect for us, obviously, but grocery is actually where I kind of want to be positioned first at point of sale.
For sure. So many marketers nowadays are using AI in their business. So do you currently use AI? And if not, where do you think that it can come in and add value?
Yeah, AI, I use it internally, I think, a lot more than externally. So I write a lot of scripts. I write a lot of scripts. I write a lot of creative. And if you look at my notepad, it looks like I'm not sober or I'm mentally very, very disturbed. And so AI kind of gives me a tool without needing to spend hours in Photoshop and Illustrator anymore getting my point across. I can give prompts based around what I'm writing to storyboard. That's, in my opinion, been my most efficient use of AI is internal selling and pitching of creative rather than external usage. I don't think it's a good idea to run a brand off of AI unless it's a shtick, right? Unless it's like a campaign centered around AI or something like that, and it has some kind of comedic value or something like that, then you can do great with it. There's a lot of really good AI creators out there that I recommend brands who are interested in contract with them rather than try to do it in-house. They know how to correctly prompt. They know how to correctly finish the work, correctly polish it through more traditional methods, and then produce it and, you know, ready for consumption by the masses. If that's how you're using AI, awesome. But if it's just like a chatbot for the sake of having an AI chatbot, then whatever. Cool. Good for you.
Yeah, I think it just depends really like on how big your company is. And if like, if you're able to have those one-on-one interactions, for sure, like that's the best. But if like you're so big where you can't have enough, you know, reps, and if your products are so unique, the AI chat could definitely help.
It can, like, you know, there's a place for it as long, but AI is still only as good as the person prompting it.
Exactly.
That's the biggest weakness of AI that people don't talk about. I'm like, it's actually forcing people to be more hands-on and intentional than ever before, right? You have to really prompt things correctly. You have to really put in a lot of effort. Once you figure that out, it's awesome. It's kind of like a really, really quick executing personal assistant. That's awesome if you view AI like that. So if your chatbots are built off of, let's say, the customer service / sales kind of chatbot. Well, if you've, you know, scraped your top 20 FAQs, you have built-in answers, you have built-in pathways, and you're willing to put in the work for like a skeleton framework and flow, okay, great. Then awesome. But at that point, you know, is it AI or the level of competence that you plugged into the AI? So I think just as long as we're defining AI the right way,
Hey, y'all, it's Dan Melnick, the CEO of Zing. And I wanted to share a special offer for all of our listeners. Right now, if you need software development services, we'll give you 2 weeks of a free trial. Do you need to update your website? You want to build a mobile app? Do you want to update something that you've been working on for a long time? We've worked in a high-level technologies like AI, machine learning, blockchain. So shoot me a text, 817-874-2208. Thank you.
Awesome. So what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you got started in your career?
That's a really good question. Things actually can happen faster People don't want them to. And you can be a bulldog while still being viewed as a nice person. So two things there. Like when I was first coming into the business world and growing up, I was always told like, Dylan, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. You know, you can offend people or whatever. And like, okay, but that doesn't, you know, as a little kid, I would be thinking to the best of my ability, like that doesn't change what was true though. Like you're using your feelings to deflect from truth. And it's crazy how much that happens in a boardroom. You're still dealing with people at the end of the day. I don't care what level of private equity they are and how many zeros are in the bank account. You're still dealing with a human being who's going to get all ruffled and miffed if you step on their ego. Mm-hmm. And I think knowing that now is so valuable. I wish I would have had that understanding during my first boardroom meeting where I'm sitting across sharks, you know, smelling blood in the water and being able to go in with confidence and being like, okay, like I'm okay with you being wrong. I'm okay with me being wrong. Let's get started. I wish that would have been encouraging. And then speed is another one. I think growing up, a lot of people here, and the reason I hype on this, it's weird to talk about it being a little kid, but we kind of grow up with these stigmas of like, hey, nothing happens overnight. Wrong. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's incredibly wrong. You can do a design sprint and a development sprint overnight that radically changes the face of your business as long as people are willing to put in those hours and you reward them correctly. And so speed is actually real. And I think it's the best kept secret in business. Again, it's not sexy because it's labor, but it works and it's real. You can roll out massive changes in a matter of hours. So I try to keep those things top of mind now.
For sure. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for Podium and both for your business?
Podium, if we do things correctly, should be north of, let's say, 40 million rev rate. If we keep doing this compound growth that we are and we execute correctly on the operation side, we should also be in line for coming up as an Olympian level brand, gearing up for that, I'd say for the next summer, maybe not the winter coming up and, you know, shortly after that, but the next summer Olympics. So that would be really exciting and means we're on track. I won't speak into the SKUs that we're rolling out in, but I think people are going to be shocked with what we're going to produce here pretty soon. We're going to drop a sample of it next month. Stay tuned for that. And then for buddies, man, I better be selling. That's it. I better be selling. I better be slinging gum. That's it. That's the only choice. So I have some really cool things lined up for that. I'm not afraid of the work. So yeah, I think both are going to be very successful.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact.
Yeah. So on LinkedIn, I think my username is Jillian Domes. That's the same for Instagram. Just flip my first and last letter. Same for Instagram, same for anything. Just find me that way. I love DMs. If you try to sell me something right away, I will be very honest with you that I don't want it or that I do want it. So if you want to DM me for that, awesome. But I'd prefer just real, authentic relationships. I appreciate anyone who listened to this. Sorry if my energy is high. I told Dan before this that my dog was barking like crazy and my sprinklers broke. I addressed it, but I'm just, you know, that's still going on outside my window right here. And I'm going to hop back to that in a minute. But yeah, I appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, bye.